have a very special person. He is, well, first, let me introduce him. He is Chris, who he has a family, a doctorate in education. He is an administrator at a school in the St. Louis area, and he is also my brother. Now,
hello.
So how are you doing?
Good. How are you? Glad to be on the show.
All right, pretty good. Now, so as I stated, you have a doctorate in education. And to me, you'll always be my brother, Chris. Always.
Right.
But how do you prefer everybody?
Unless mom tells us something different. You know.
Right. So how do you prefer to be called? Do you like to go by Dr. Chris or is it just Chris?
Professionally, you know, at the school, Dr. Brown is okay. I don't throw a hissy fit if somebody forgets or just doesn't, because, you know, it's awkward for some people and people just don't care. And I like to think that I'm not that self-absorbed, but definitely outside of the professional setting, Chris is just fine. I prefer that. Otherwise, it gets weird.
Right on. Okay, cool. Yeah, so you and me have known each other all of our lives, well, at least all of my life, I've known you. So yeah. This is kind of exciting. This is the first time I have recorded a podcast with a sibling. So wow. You are the very first sibling, so that's got to be...
Cool. Thank you. Well, that's an honor.
That's kind of cool. So
yeah, and there's a lot of us, too.
Yeah, and you are also the third guest on the show, too. So and hopefully we'll see if we can get more on. We'll see if they want to do it. But are you ready to... are you familiar with the show?
I am. I believe you're just going to ask me a lot of weird, crazy questions.
So it's basically just like hanging out with me like normal. with the only difference being that, you know, more people are going to hear it.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. But this should feel like normal to you.
Okay.
We've done this forever. So this is really this is nothing different. Okay. So let's get this started. And for those listening, if you're a first-time listener, what I do is I just ask a long list of just random questions. I talk about Uber facts. Sometimes it's trivial stuff. And a lot of would you rather questions, all of them are ridiculous. None of them make any sense. It's just meant for a good time. Okay. All right. So let's get this going. Okay.
All right.
So my first, Chris, you have a reputation of being somewhat, you kind of have a reputation a little bit of being a germaphobe. Just a little bit.
I would say it's a little bit more than a little bit. Yeah.
So I thought of this first question just for you. Actually, this was a collab by me and Holly. We wanted to ask you that. We wanted to ask you this question. And that question is, would you rather fight a bear or get COVID-19?
Oh, that's hands down get COVID-19. If I fight a bear, I'm dead. That's certain death.
No, that kind of surprises me a little bit, because I thought for sure you would have said bear, because I'm pretty sure you have said that you think you could take on a bear before.
I have never said that.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe I said that, but I couldn't have been serious or sober.
Yeah. I don't think... Now, if you were to fight a bear, what bear do you think you have the best chances towards? A black bear? No, I know you're not too full of yourself to say polar bear. Those bears are absolutely psycho. But like a brown bear, black bear, any kind of bear, what bear do you think you could take on in a fight?
Oh, a bear. Koala bear? Is that technically really a bear? I don't think it is, but yeah, that's my best shot right there.
You know what? It has bear in the name, so I'll take it. You know what?
But yeah, whatever the smallest bear you can find, I'll take it on.
I think the best way to take on a bear is you don't fight them at all and you just play dead. But I'm pretty sure that there's
only... that's what they say.
Yeah. You can't run from them. You can't climb anything. I mean, they're pretty much unavoidable. The best thing you can do is play dead. And I think there's only a few bears that even works on. I don't know if it's true, but they say maybe you could do that with grizzly bears, but...
I don't know. I think about bears and fighting bears and things like that, I always think to the movie, The Great Outdoors, where he shoots that bear... and it shoots him bald. You got a bald bear running around on the head.
Right.
That's what I always think of. But yeah, find me the smallest bear and I won't play dead.
You won't play dead?
No.
Okay. All right. You know what? I think they say the best way to survive, like say a black bear attacks you, they say you have to fight it, or because playing dead doesn't work. Like you literally have to fight back. And they say sometimes all it takes is a swat to the nose for them, and then they run away. Sometimes. Now,
Yeah, I hear the nose is very sensitive.
for those listening, please don't take us on our advice on that. We are not reliable, or
Not at all.
we are not responsible for any bear attacks. So please don't test us out. We are just like you. We don't know anything about bears. Okay. Okay. All right. So let's move on. Okay. So this next one, this is an Uber fact. And this says an average person will wait 6 months of their lifetime at a red light waiting for it to turn green.
What? How much?
6 months of their lifetime waiting at a red light, waiting for it to turn green. 6 months.
Wow.
You feel like this is accurate?
Well, I guess if you accumulate time, yeah. I mean, it takes a while, but if you sit at a stoplight for a minute, or even 2 minutes a day, that accumulates after a while. I mean, but gosh. 6 months, long time.
Yeah, 6 months is a long time. I
I guess that's why people run
right. Or they
stoplights.
always try to make right turns and then they go down and then make a left just to, like, I don't know, trying to
Go
get
around the block.
right. They're trying to get more out of their life than waiting at a red light. I don't know. You might die if you run a stoplight, but
That's true.
you're gonna lose 6 months of your life if you always wait at stoplights. I'd rather just lose the 6 months of out of my life.
Well, chances are I'm thinking about things I would want to do anyway, or
Right.
planning that you need that time to think about other things. So no loss, no
Yeah.
loss.
All right. Okay. So let's move on. Okay. So this next one, this is another Uber fact. It says impatient people are also more likely to procrastinate.
Impatient people are more likely to procrastinate. You
So
know,
what are
I've
you?
never thought about that before, but I bet you that is true.
You think so?
Yes. Impatient people and procrastination, I think, probably go hand in hand because of impulsivity. So always finding other something else to do because you can't either wait to do it or whatever. That makes sense. I'll go with that.
You know what? This makes sense to me because I am this person. I am super impatient and I will procrastinate with the best of them. So this makes total sense. I am a living example of this.
A lot of people really work better under like stress and timelines, like at the last minute. Like, they finally like either break down and like, okay, I got to get it done because it has to be done, and they do their best work. I thought I was that person for a long time, but I am not. I'm actually the opposite. If I don't get it done ahead of time and right away, that like cloud is hanging over me until I get it done, and I'm not a very nice or happy person until the task is complete. So,
Yeah, I am the opposite of that.
yeah.
I get really impatient when people are in my way or if I'm waiting on somebody. And yeah, so I am definitely this person and I will procrastinate sometime. I mean, I try not to, of course, but like it just happens.
I like the time you asked me to come over and look at your water heater. You told me about it and asked me to come over, and I was like, okay, I'll come over now. And you were like, really? No, let's get this done, like now. Let's do this. You were like, I guess. I mean, I'll take a cold shower for 3 days, but whatever you want to do, Chris. If you want to come over now, that's fine.
And I do appreciate that because that cold shower sucked. So I love taking warm showers. Okay.
You didn't act like it
I
when
know.
I said I was going to come over. You're like, no, I'll take cold showers for days, whatever you want to come over.
Because like usually when you
Like, you made
make
me feel bad for wanting to come over now.
no, because usually when you make plans, you never like you always have the mindset of making plans for something that's going to happen later. It's never a mindset where like, oh, this is going to happen right away. Like we're
That's an
doing this
emergency.
now. And be
Nobody should
like,
take a cold shower.
right, I agree. And I would have to thank you for that. Okay, all right. So, okay, I'm on this next one. All right. So have you ever heard the expression, it costs an arm and a leg, like going to the movies costs an arm and a leg? All right. So Have you ever actually thought and wondered how much an arm and a leg is worth in the United States?
Well, I, you know, I think that's, I think that depends on who you ask. You know, if you're talking to somebody, if you're talking to somebody without an arm or a leg, an arm or a leg would cost a lot. You know, they probably pay pretty good money to have your arm or leg. But realistically speaking, gosh, you know, if the technology or the medical expertise was there that they could readily and, you know, attach somebody's arm to another person on a, you know, a daily basis, I would say my arm, you know, is probably at least $1 million.
$1 million? Wow.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to read you the Uber fact on this.
Oh, boy.
And how what they claim how much an arm and a leg is worth. And mm-hmm. they're saying that it is worth in the US $323,099.
Why? where do they come up with that stuff?
That I don't know. I mean, and I kind of agree with you. Like, yeah, somebody that only has one arm versus two arms, I think the person is going to hold their one arm a little bit more valuable than most people, you know?
Right. Yes. But yeah. I, you know, if you're a major league pitcher or even baseball player,
yeah,
you know, your arm is a lot more, is worth a lot more than probably the average, I would say.
Right. I would agree. You know, you always hear that it costs an arm and a leg, but now we kind of have a dollar total to that, you know, according to this, you know, 320. So what would you rather have right now? Would mm-hmm. you rather have both of your arms, or would you rather have twice the amount of $323,099?
Ooh, you know, I'd have to go with both of my arms because, you know,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, what am I going to do with $600,000+ right. anyway, you know, probably right. just spend it on more stuff I don't need.
Exactly.
But I sure need my arms.
Yes. Need yeah. your arms. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think far more valuable to have both of your arms. And then, because if you lose your arms, someone else is spending your money. You ain't spending, you sure as hell ain't spending it.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. All right. It's keep your arms. Okay. All right.
I like them anyway.
Right. All right. Let's move on. Okay. So I have another question that is kind of relative to your arms. And that is, okay, Chris, if you punch yourself and it hurt, are right. you too weak or too strong?
If you punch yourself, you too weak or, and it hurts.
Right.
Well, you know, listen, if you can knock yourself out by punching yourself, you are way too strong. Like, because I think your mind, your brain won't actually physically allow you to hit yourself so hard in the face right. that you get knocked out or you're hurt a lot. Now, can I probably punch my nose and make it bleed? Yeah. But to physically, and you know, will it hurt a little bit? Yeah. I would say, yeah, if you can make yourself legitimately hurt, like prize fighter hurt.
Yeah.
You're too strong.
You're too strong.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a glass half full kind of thing. You know, like, are you optimistic or pessimistic? You know, it's one of those, I think it's one of those questions, kind of falls in the line of that. I would say I am a glass half full person. I would say I'm too strong. I'm never going to say I'm too weak. So I'm going to say that I'm strong, that I hurt yeah. myself, you know, that yeah. I'm just really strong. And then if I was to do that to somebody else, they would get knocked out too, or they would get hurt. So mm-hmm. I would say that I am too strong for sure.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll go with that.
All right. All right.
Let's I say on. You're weak, but you know, anyway.
Okay. Of course. Okay. All right. So let's move on. Okay. All right. So here's another good one. So Chris, I want to ask you this very serious question. And this question is, would you rather get into a fist fight on top of a moving bus or on top of a moving train?
Ooh. Well, if it's on top of a train that I have to sit and wait for like every other day, you know, the one that moves about 3 miles an hour at the railroad crossing when everybody's trying to get to work, I will definitely pick that train.
Yes.
Yeah, so on top of a train for sure. Also, they don't take really sharp turns very fast.
No.
Right. I think we, what's the name of that movie where Denzel Washington and the train and all that. See what happens when they try to take that curve too fast.
Yeah. I don't know the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Derailed, or I can't remember what it is, but
yeah, I would go with the train fight, because like the bus is just too unpredictable. It could come to a hard stop, make turns. It could flip over. Like, you know, I think a bus would be far more dangerous to fight on, but I feel like every time we see a movie where someone or two people are fighting on a train, they always end the exact same way, where the bad guy always gets taken out by the tunnel that he didn't see.
Yep. I agree.
So I don't want to be taken out by a tunnel.
Well, yeah, let me break this up. So yesterday I was watching Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was on top of some kind of a train. I don't know what it was, but she blew up the tunnel in front of her for some reason and then blew a hole into the train so she could jump down in it. I was like, so why'd you blow up the tunnel if you could just blow up the hole and just jump down it and not worry about the tunnel? I don't know. I didn't get it, but it looked cool.
Yeah. It's probably one of those things where it looked cool. That's just how it is in movies. Like, I don't know. Like, I think movies just kind of give us an expectation now of how things are going to go. Like, now I expect that if I'm going to get into a fist fight, that I need to be the person that's on bottom getting pummeled. You need to be the person that's on the bottom getting pummeled, because you know that tunnel is going to come and knock out the guy on top of you.
Or at least one of those hanging down signs in the tunnel that just like face plants them, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The weird sign that nobody sees, but is always in the tunnel.
Right. Why are they even there? They're not lights.
Is it an exit? Like,
right. Who needs an exit sign?
I don't know.
Nobody. Right. Okay. All right. So let's move. So we both said train. Yeah. I think buses are just too crazy, too unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on. Okay. So this next one. Okay. Chris, I am aware that you have a fear of heights a little bit. Would you say?
I do. Gosh, you know, you bring up my, can't even think of the term right now.
But germaphobe.
And then my absolute fear of heights. Yes. I do have one. It's embarrassing, but I've come to grips with it. So I will talk about it openly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, all right. We're going to learn a little bit more about you today. Mm-hmm. So would you rather swim with sharks in the ocean? Of course, where else? Sharks are not anywhere else. And would you rather swim with sharks or go skydiving?
This is going to probably sound really weird to you, my answer, but I've actually thought about this before. I would go skydiving.
Skydiving?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I feel like that is a more for sure thing. And probably statistically, maybe it's not. I don't know how many people die on diving with sharks and actually get eaten. Probably very, very few. But I also don't know how many people die because the parachute doesn't open.
Right.
But skydiving. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after watching, I watched that on YouTube with my daughter. She wanted to watch it. The 10 sightings or 10 reasons Megalodon may still exist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that one Coast Guard footage. Yeah. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you. I would rather go skydiving. I mean, it's not like they just send you down by yourself the first time either. They usually send a professional or someone that knows what they're doing, that's done it thousands of times. They know what they're doing. You're not going to die if you go skydiving. Maybe if you go by yourself and you're not very, you know, experienced with it, you don't know what you're doing, and you didn't pack enough parachutes. But like swimming with sharks, man, because like you don't know how many of them are down there. You don't know if one could sneak up behind you at any moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just so huge. I mean, they can barely touch you and just absolutely just knock you out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and it just, I mean, I would say the scariest part out of doing either one of those is the split second before you got to do it. You know what I mean? Like, what goes through your mind before you're getting ready to jump out of a plane? And what goes through your mind before you just jump in the water that's, you know, surrounded by great whites?
Yeah. I think the second you're like, all I got to do is get my feet off of this plane it into the air, because that's the, I mean, because after that, there's nothing else you can do.
Yeah.
You either pull that cord or you don't, you know.
Right.
Once you're falling, you're falling. There's no taking it. No takey backsies, you know.
Yeah, there's no mulligans when you're up in the air.
No, you get bit by a shark. I mean, chances are you're going to bleed out. Because you're going to be miles away from any medical attention, and there's not enough rags on the thing to hold you shut.
Right, and I'm pretty sure people, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I do hear that either one can be a life-changing experience, though. They say people that have done it, they said there's something about it. You come out of it, you just have a greater appreciation for life. And it's probably because both of those things are scary as shit.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think sometimes we take for granted life. And once we feel like we've been in ultimate danger, like we could have died, we're like, oh, yeah, living's pretty good.
Right. What I used to think were problems are really not problems.
Nope.
Okay. All right. So we tackled that one pretty good. All right. So this next one, this is another Uber fact. This says people who stay up late are more likely to have nightmares. You find that to be true?
Well, I don't, I guess it could be. I guess maybe more scarier shows are on later at night, or maybe at least that's the way it used to be. I don't know. But so maybe if you're watching those types of things later at night, go to sleep, have whatever. I don't know. But I think people who go to sleep later at night anyway, probably have, or are more likely to have sleeping issues anyway. Which goes into a whole, you know, a lot of psychological things going on anyway.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I think maybe that has something to do with stress, you know, like if you can't sleep, maybe you're stressed out. And therefore, if you're stressed, maybe you are having more nightmares.
Yeah. I don't know. I tell you, stress does more to our body than I think people realize. Like, it's a psychological thing that happens that can have complete physical problem or cause a lot of physical problems in your body.
Oh yes, I believe it. So yeah, I think there is definitely a correlation there. I think this is true, but I don't think it's because people are staying up late. I think it's just because there's other reasons that are making them stay up late, therefore that are giving them nightmares. I think it's just I think that's what it is. I mean who knows, but that's just my take on it. I am not, I am, unlike you, I do not have a doctorate in anything.
Well, mine's definitely not in the stress.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's move on. Okay. So this next one is, this is another one. Your thumb is the same length as your nose.
What?
Yeah. It says your thumb is the same length as your nose.
Oh my, well.
So if you're listening, you're doing that right now.
That's what I'm doing. And I guess. Yeah, that's pretty close.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
I never knew that. All right. So that was just a fun fact. So
I feel sorry for people who have really long thumbs.
Right. Okay. So I just said that because I can just imagine a bunch of people right now just touching just touching their noses. Okay. All right. All right. So this next one is, which island do you like your chances for survival better? Ramree Island or Snake Island? And I can give you some information about these islands before you make your choice. Okay.
So if I remember talking to you before, Ramree Island is the one with a bunch of, like, is it saltwater crocodiles on it?
Oh yeah.
Like thousands of them.
Right.
Or whatever. And then Snake Island obviously is probably full of, like, poisonous snakes, right?
There you go. You got it. You nailed it. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to have to go with Ramree Island.
Ramree Island?
Yes, because saltwater crocodiles don't climb trees. I can chill. I can build a little tree house.
Yeah.
Do whatever up above, you know, and then start picking those things off one by one.
Right.
Snakes? Nah, they go anywhere they want. There's no hiding.
Nope. Super poisonous too. So for those listening, so Ramree Island is home of one of the world's largest human massacres caused by animals in history. You can Google it. You can look it up. Saltwater crocs, they ate a lot of people. And it's, you know, it that is an island that is located off the Burma coast in Bay of Bengal. So keep that in mind during your travel plans. Do not go there. And then also Snake Island. Snake Island is an island off the coast of Brazil in the Atlantic Ocean. Researchers estimate that on the island live between 1 and 5 snakes per square meter. And these are poisonous snakes too. And there's not, so both islands are pretty dangerous. I would agree with you. I think Ramry Island, I feel like there wouldn't have been so many casualties had they had known about this island, because from what I hear, it was looked like it was kind of a, like they were kind of caught off guard.
How many snakes did you say per square, what, yard or meter?
Meter, per square meter. There's between 1 and 5 snakes per square meter.
How does that even happen? Like, what do those snakes eat to sustain themselves? Are they just eating each other all constantly?
I don't know.
I mean, how many mice and rats are on that island? Anyway, I don't know.
And how are those rats able to survive long enough to reproduce?
I don't know. Now, obviously, snakes eat more than that, but
yeah,
I mean, that's a lot of snakes.
That is. That really is. I mean, and researchers are prohibited from visiting the island. That's just how dangerous it is.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Ramry Island. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about two of the most dangerous islands in the world.
So let me get this straight. Going back to this diving with sharks, people dive with big old great whites and, you know, bull sharks and, you know, those more aggressive sharks, because they, you know, they're developing these anti-shark bite suits and stuff like that. We can't come up with a snake-proof suit that researchers can go and use? That doesn't make no sense.
That's a good point. I don't know. It could be one of those things where it's so hot there that they can't come up with a suit that's, you know, that can keep people cool enough and safe enough from a snake bite. I don't know. That's just my guess. I have no idea. I mean, if they can go to the moon.
Read my mind. Go to the moon. We can go to the moon.
We can go to the moon. We can go up into space. I think we can definitely go to that island. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But me, out of these two islands, I would say Ramry Island all the way. You won't find me anywhere. Well, you won't find me anywhere near these two islands, but Snake Island, that's a no for me.
That sounds like the next family vacation right there.
No, hell no. Hell no. Okay. All right. So let's move on. Okay. This next one, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. All right. This is a big question. What is the most entertaining sport in the world?
Most entertaining sport. Oh gosh.
Of all the sports, what sport is the most entertaining to watch? That's a loaded question.
That's hard, because I like different sports for different reasons.
Yeah.
But they all have, you know, similar elements, you know. I'm trying to think.
They all have long commercial breaks.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say probably most recently is mixed martial arts fighting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think that's probably the most entertaining, just because you really never know how the fight's going to go.
Yeah.
You don't know if it's going to last for 10 seconds or go 3 rounds, if it's going to end in a weird submission or a crazy knockout. You know, it's like you have these very trained athletes in there. And I mean, the underdog could just land the right punch at the right time and take down a top dog. So I think that's probably the most entertaining as far as the unknowns, for at least me, an amateur watcher. But yeah, I'm going to go with that.
You go with that? That's a good one. I was not expecting you to say that. I thought you were for sure going to say either soccer, because you played soccer back in the day. It went, which I don't think a lot of people now realize that, you know, that you used to play soccer. You used to be big into soccer.
Oh, yeah. 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 I played most. I mean, probably strapped on my first pair of boots when I was, you know, between 2 and 4 years old, somewhere there, and played all the way up through high school. Coached. But soccer is a game of immense skill, and you have to have a tremendous amount of awareness of what's going on around you as you play that. And there's a lot of strategery going on. It is a very much a physical as a mental game, is I guess why I liked it so much.
Right. Yeah. And you played goalie, right? You were the goalie.
Yeah, I was a goalie, and also a right wing and a forward. So I could run up and down that sideline all day long. But I also like the goalkeeper aspect of it, is because you're like the last line of defense. You know, it was pretty cool having that pressure on you.
Nice. Nice. Okay. All right. So you said mixed martial arts for your answer. For my answer, I'm gonna go with hockey, because I
Oh, hockey, yeah.
especially playoff hockey, it doesn't get more intense than playoff
Oh
hockey.
my gosh, no.
I don't think anything will. And then there's far fewer commercial breaks too, which I like a lot. Now, my two favorite sports, and you know this, Chris, is baseball and football. I love those two sports. But I would say the most entertaining to watch, though, hands down to me, is hockey. But MMA is definitely really exciting. I mean, and it is blowing up for a reason. It's been blowing up.
It didn't cross my mind, but I just I'm getting more hockey every year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great sport to watch. Okay. All right. So let's move on. Okay. So do you still, now for those listening, I know you were in band. You were a master of the trumpet, but
Wrong.
that was back in your high school days, which was
Yeah.
now, that was kind of a while back from now. So I want to ask you, do you still remember how to play the trumpet?
Oh, do I? Actually, I just broke it out again. I over this holiday break, I took it into the music store and got it all professionally cleaned up and repaired. And I've actually recently been playing it, and I'm actually really surprised on how much I remember and don't remember. I think my daughter learning the piano is kind of, and playing that has kind of helped that. But I recently picked it up and started playing again after, I don't know, 20 years.
Nice.
So
Okay. All right.
yeah.
All right. Well, that's good to know. That's really cool that you're still doing that, because I remember you used to be really into it. You used to play the trumpet all the time. You used to keep me up all the time. But hey.
I don't think I was really into it, and I think what's that's a lot of people don't understand about band is I think a lot of kids do band because it's another way to be a part of a team. A lot of people don't think of a band as a team, but until they experience that moment where you guys where a collective group of people play a song together and it moves them in one way or another, it's like, wow. And I think a lot of kids aren't competitive as far as athletic wise and stuff like that, but we all do have a want to be a part of a group, and I think that offers that. So kids may not be necessarily into an instrument and playing it, but more so as just being part of something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, I agree with that. I would have to agree with that, even though I never played any instrument in my life.
Not too late. Not too late.
Not too
Look at
late.
dad. Look at dad. Well, he played before, but he picked up a new instrument recently and
Okay. All right. So my next question, and this is going back to the sports realm. Who is the best baseball player you have ever seen?
that I've ever seen and like actively watched.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, because I'm not really I'm a Cardinals fan, so I watch the Cardinals. I could care less what's going on around the MLB, honestly. So the ones that I've ever watched, Albert Pujols, tremendous, tremendous player. But also, I would say Yadier Molina. He's not talked about enough. I mean, because I think a lot of people, and I shouldn't say a lot of people, but it's easy to forget how much of the game he controls from behind the plate. Not athletically, but with just the mental side of the game. And
Awesome.
then he can gun you out, trying to steal second, pick you off at first. That's crazy, from his knees. So, amazing. But those two players, Albert Pujols, probably the best player I've ever actively watched.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. I do think Albert Pujols, as soon as he's retired, he's a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. Ain't no doubt in my mind. I think everybody knows that. Yadier Molina should get into the Hall of Fame. I think he should get in there. It was one of, as a catcher for sure. I think he has the gold gloves to back it up. But two, or I would say three players, and it's very hard. I'm a Cubs fan, so this is very hard for me to say,
I still
because
don't understand it, but okay.
he used to destroy the Cubs all the time. Albert Pujols is what probably the I've seen in person, hands down, the best player I've ever seen in person. But then there's also Barry Bonds too. what, you know, Barry Bonds was really great. Yeah, I know he had, what is it, performance enhancers, or maybe he didn't, or maybe he did not, or if whether or not if it even mattered, who knows? I would have to put him on the list. And then, of course, I'd never seen Mike Trout play in person, but I'll definitely put Mike Trout up there.
Okay.
All right. One more sports-related question. And then this just goes with the time that we're in right now. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Now, we are recording this on January 24th. So this is before the NFC and AFC games, like literally right before them.
Yeah.
So we don't know the winners of those two games. So as of right now, during this recording, who do you got winning the Super Bowl?
You know, most I would say Green Bay.
Green Bay?
Green Bay. I think this is their year. I'd like to see them. I'd like to see them win it. Although I've recently become a Allen fan of the Bills. You know, that guy's a monster, you know. And I think he's just, you know, at the beginning of his peak, you know, like not even there. So I think he's gonna get better too. I'm concerned about whatever's going on with Mahomes and that concussion, or I don't know what he's got. But that hit last week, or when his neck got twisted and he tried to get up and just about fell back down, that was scary. So I don't know. I can't even believe he's playing this week. Is he right?
I think he was cleared from concussion protocol. So whatever
that
means.
That's nonsense. That is not. There's no way he cleared from
concussion protocol. Yeah.
Concussion protocols, I've always seen at least more than a week out.
Yeah.
Of physical contact.
Right. Yeah. It's just too good of a coincidence, you know, like, oh, he's magically fine right before one of the biggest games of the year. I think it's
right.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a little bit.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous, but I'm going to have to go with the Bills. You know, for that reason, I'm going to go with the Bills. I think if the Bills can get past an injured Mahomes with the Chiefs, if they can get past them, I think the Bills are the team to beat in the Super Bowl. I think they're one of the most complete teams. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Bills. And I don't know. It's something about this year. It just feels like it's their year. So I'm going with the Bills. If I'm wrong, I don't know.
I don't know. The excitement is definitely around the Bills. So I, you know, if Green Bay doesn't take, I'd like to see them take it too.
Right. Yes. So. I agree. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Okay. So now this next question, I got two more questions, and this one is kind of related to you and your job in your field. All right. So this is going to be a good question. That's actually, just geared towards you. And I want to know, in your opinion, with virtual learning being a thing, thanks to COVID, there's a lot of virtual learning and stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Do you think that snow days are a thing of the past?
I don't. You know, and I was one of those people like, hey, you know, now that we have virtual learning and our school systems are kind of set up for it, kind of, you know what? But we work with kids, you know?
Yeah.
And what are you going to get out of a kid on a snow day whose only mind is to go outside and go sledding, go play in the snow, go build a little snow fort, throw snowballs, snowboarding, skiing, or whatever it might be that they do? I mean, how much are you going to – how much are you really going to get accomplished that day in a learning environment virtually, right? Not much. You know, nothing that's too effective, you know. And kids still need to be kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's they'll go out and do more good for their mental status, their physical status, playing in the snow and getting outside. Because what do we always say? Kids don't do what anymore?
Let's go outside.
You know, so why would we go against that, even though that's all we complain about?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I don't. And as educators, I think we understand that. Now the people out there, well, we can do virtual learning. Kids should be young, you know. Come on. No, there's a whole human that we're talking about, you know. Yes. It's not just filling their brains full of knowledge.
Yeah. It's not just about rushing them through the system. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It you got to take your time with things. It's not all about just numbers and test scores and all that.
No, we've got to, you know, we keep talking about the rising rates of, and I get serious of teen suicide and anxiety and stress. And I see that. We have to pay attention to these little things that we can do to ease that, you know, because we have to treat the whole kid, you know, it's not all about academics.
Nice. Well said. Well said. Okay. I am not qualified to really speak on this matter. So I'm going to let you take that one. You nailed that one perfectly. You nailed that one perfectly.
I hope so. It's just, you know, just my opinion. But no, I think any rational educator, administrator understands the importance of those small mental breaks like snow days.
Nice. Nice. Okay. And then this is my last one. This is my last one. Now, Chris, you worked really hard. You spent numerous years in school chasing after your doctorate degree. Mm-hmm. So you experienced that.
Yeah.
Of course. So I want to ask you, what advice would you give someone who was just now starting their pursuit of something like a doctorate? Someone who is just now starting day one, if you can recall back to when you were first getting going, what advice would you give to somebody?
So a couple things. The first thing is you have to ask yourself, why are you doing this in the first place? Mm-hmm. Are you doing it for, you know, to looking for the next job, the next pay raise or something like that? Are you doing it just so you can walk around and people at work have to call you doctor, you know, or are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it to actually make yourself a better professional? And you have to answer that question for yourself of why are you doing this? Because I'm telling you, going through any rigorous doctoral program, you better know why you're doing it, because you're going to need to hold on to that to get through it. You know, and in the second part is, if you do decide to go into it, understand that a doctoral program is not about how smart you are or whatever. It's more about how much sacrifice you're willing to give and how much stamina do you have, because it is a tremendous amount of time. It is away from family, away from doing things that you want to do, you know, cooped up in a room, reading, writing, studying. And, you know, do not go into a program thinking that it's going to be anything like you've done before, a master's program or anything like that. It gets real. You are getting ready to publish a paper in which needs to be 100% on point. And there is no BSing. There's no making it up or fluffing it up, because the people who you're working with won't go for it, you know, and you will rewrite and redo until your stuff is on point. So those are my pieces of advice, is make sure you know why you're doing it. And if that cause is really something that's going to, something that you can hold on to and justify why you're doing it. For me, it was more of a personal challenge. You know, I've always thought about it. I knew my writing skills were terrible. So that's what scared me. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it, that I could take on the challenge and win. And through that, I've become a much better writer. And I know a lot more about myself and my work ethic than I ever knew before. So, you know, that was why I did it. You know, it's not about, for me, it was never about money or jumping up to the next job or anything like that. That's just, those things come with hard work. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's really well said, way better than I could ever say it. And, you know, and now that I recall, which is kind of so kind of cool about you, because even though you were in school for a very long time, you were always busy writing papers and always cramming, and on top of, you know, having a family and of course your everyday job and stuff, because you were doing this while you were working and raising, you know, having a family and stuff like that, but you were always around a lot too. So it's like you seem to really work everything together. I mean, you prioritized everything very well, but you were always, you know, you never used it as an excuse not to be somewhere, because you're always around. You know, we always saw you quite a bit, but you know, because you always made sure that you had enough time for family, but you had enough time for that. Like you balanced very well.
Yeah. And I can only, you know, I have to thank my wife and my family for that, because you need that extra support. You know, when you got a family, you need their support. If you don't have their support, don't even try it. Bad things happen. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's another bit of advice. Marry well.
have a supportive family. Yeah.
Yeah. Have a supportive family. And then that will also help in your pursuit of a doctorate in anything, not just education, but anything. Yep. But okay. All right. So that's all I had for this episode. Chris, it was a pleasure talking to you and having you come on the show. I'm definitely going to have you on again. Some really great insight on a lot of really important matters and, you know, not so important matters as well.
So, thanks for having me. It was awesome. I'm glad I was able to come on and, you know, keep on. I think this is it's a good show to have. It's easy listening and get some laughs here and there with some different perspectives, which I think all of us could use more of is different perspectives.
Yes. I would agree. That's why I love doing this show. And I love, you know, sitting down and talking to people just like you. It's a really great time. But but anyways, before we go, do you have any kind of shout outs? Do you want to recommend someone's business or anything, like anything? Like, this is your time. You can take the floor.
Oh man, that's on the spot. That's more on the spot. I don't know. Just shout out, shout out to you. I'm glad that you're doing something that you love and found a lot of interest in, and I think that's great. One of my favorite things, I love listening. I've said this to you before, you and Holly, listening to you guys talk, I could do that all day long, you know, and I mean, obviously at family events and things like that, but you know, you guys are a great comedy duo. And I hope somebody, you know, with the wherewithal can we'll hear you guys and say that's something. So, I'll just shout out to, all those students who are, wanting to pursue higher education, you know, whether you're from a, lower class, underprivileged, background, middle class, upper class, you know, I encourage you, there's resources out there for everyone. Make sure you speak up and ask for help and advice on how to get to where you need to be. So as a first generation college student and doctoral candidate, now recipient, I couldn't have got to where I have without asking questions and getting resources from people. So good luck to you. And Ben, thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your nice words. Really appreciate that. All right. Again, I'll say thank you for coming on. It's been a really great time. And so before we go, please remember to rate on if you are listening on Apple, please remember to rate, review. And also, please remember to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Just look for the Ben Brown Won't Shut Up podcast. And then, yeah. But other than that, all I got to say is go Bills, because I picked them to win the Super Bowl. So they need to win today. And go Green Bay. All right. Everybody out there, please stay safe. Remember to wash your hands. And social distance. Wear the mask.
Wear the mask.
Later.